as one reads the Bible, the timing of God can so often be seen to be significant. Pentecost is a good example. There were three great Jewish festivals to which every male Jew living within 20 miles of Jerusalem was legally bound to attend. They were the Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Our attention today is, of course, centered on Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks. Pentecost means the 50th, so-called because it fell on the 50th day, or a week of weeks, after the Passover. The Passover was celebrated in the middle of April, so Pentecost fell at the beginning of June, when travelling was at its easiest. God chose a time to present the Holy Spirit when there would never have been a more international crowd in Jerusalem. It was at that time when the people were commemorating the giving of the law which God had given to Moses on Mount Sinai. It was also the time when people offered two loaves in thankfulness for the harvest. It was the law that no work should be done on that day. So the Jerusalem streets would have been absolutely crowded. If God wanted the perfect timing for the coming of the Holy Spirit, he could not have timed it better. But before we consider the happenings on the day of Pentecost, let's think about the state of mind of the disciples. They had so recently seen Jesus accused, condemned, whipped, and crucified. They deserted him. And Peter will be forever remembered for denying Jesus not once but three times. They were so shattered they found it hard to believe that God had resurrected him in the tomb. They were bewildered when he appeared to them, and Thomas, for one, was outspoken in his lack of belief, letting it be clearly known that it would take something extraordinary, like putting his hands in the wounds of Jesus, before he would believe he was alive. So we have a group of disciples not quite knowing what to make of it all. Then they witnessed the miracle of the ascension. They'd gone from one extreme to the other. They had seen him do extraordinary miracles, but this must have been something else. To see Jesus physically rising from the earth and being taken up in a cloud into the sky must have been, as we say, mind-blowing. Did they wonder if this was one of Jesus' miracles, or was this God's way of taking him back into heaven? But at first there was no explanation. Even though he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and finally they could no longer see him. And just in case they thought their eyes were playing tricks on them, as they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." In the 40 days since the resurrection, they must have just begun to get used to Jesus appearing to them. But now he was taken from them. He had spelt out what he expected of them before he left them. "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." But all the help they needed to do that was promised. The words of Jesus are recorded in the Bible in Acts, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And then after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes. Cloud hid him from their sight. Had we been one of the first disciples, we would probably have said what we so often say these days when we pray and we wait for an answer. "When will it happen, Lord?" We can well understand, after seeing Jesus rise into the sky, that the disciples worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, we are told, praising God. But as each day passed, did the disciples wonder when they would receive the Holy Spirit? And for 8 long days they waited and they waited and they waited. It must have been the longest 8 days the disciples had ever known. They had lost physical sight of Jesus, and his promise that they would be empowered to do what he had commanded them to do had not happened. Yes, the thrill of seeing the miracle of Jesus ascending would be something that would stay with them forever. But slowly, it would dawn on them they were just the same sort of people. How could they take the gospel to the world? True, they had seen the miracles Jesus had performed, and they could still hear in their minds the commandment that he had given to them to go and make disciples of all nations. But they must have begun to wonder how they could possibly do that. They were full of amazement of what Jesus had done, but they were very human. Jesus had told them to wait in Jerusalem until they received the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it's then they would receive the power they would need. But why didn't God give them the Holy Spirit immediately? Why have them wait for 8 days? Could it be, I wonder, that in the euphoria of seeing Jesus, they might have assumed that as his disciples, they also could do anything? But here we see God's timing once again. They had to understand that power in them came not by observation, but by experience. The disciples must have sensed the privilege of seeing one of the greatest miracles ever, the literal rising from the ground by Jesus and being taken up into the sky. But now the disciples had a few days when they just wanted to praise God. They were on a spiritual high. But as we know, we can have spiritual highs, but earth's realities have a way of dulling our minds. But they had to be obedient to the commands of Jesus, and they'd remember Jesus had promised they would have power to fulfill those commands. And as each day passed, the thought must have come to them, when? It's a question we find ourselves asking so often, isn't it? We face circumstances in which we long to see the miraculous work of God to resolve them. As the situations get more difficult, even sometimes seemingly impossible, we can find ourselves calling out to God, when will we feel your power in us to affect the situation? The disciples in those 8 days must have wondered when they were going to receive God's power to do his will. And as we know and celebrate today, when the disciples were gathered in one accord, the Holy Spirit came. They were unable to force the timing, and then God fulfilled his promise. And as I shared from Scripture earlier in the service, the description of the coming of the Holy Spirit is wonderfully told. The Holy Spirit had never come in this way before. In the Old Testament, we're used to reading of individuals being blessed and used by the presence of the Holy Spirit. But here in Jerusalem, something quite different happened. All those who had gathered together in one accord were filled with the Holy Spirit. And from then on, no one needs a time of waiting for that blessing. The Holy Spirit came to anoint all who will receive him. The gifts, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the empowering of Christians we read about are available to all Christians now. We could spend quite a while considering the effects the gifts of the Holy Spirit could have in the church. But let me share just one illustration of the difference that can happen. Peter had not long previously been too scared to own Jesus, denying his Lord not once, but, as I've said previously, three times. Hardly anyone we might like to trust in a crisis, but having received the Holy Spirit, we find recorded in Acts chapter 2, this same Peter, on the day that he received the Holy Spirit, he delivered an amazing sermon, which resulted in over 3,000 people being baptized and coming into the fellowship. Peter was absolutely transformed after he had received the Holy Spirit. And that transforming power is available to us, to you and to me. Those 120 who had gathered in one accord were as ordinary as we are, but after receiving the Holy Spirit, they became capable of starting the gospel of salvation to the world. If we would see the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, there is no one who would be more glad than the same Jesus who promised that it was needful that he should return to heaven so that the Holy Spirit would be released in the world to give empowerment to all who would receive him. The moment we ask to be anointed by the Holy Spirit, he will indwell us and use us. No waiting anymore. If you ask how you can have that experience the disciples had on the day of Pentecost, well, you can receive the Holy Spirit in the quietness of your own home. As Christians, this experience is offered by Jesus himself. The 120 disciples were not only in one accord, they were willing to receive the gift God wanted them to have. We don't read anywhere that among them there were those who refused to accept God's gift. We're told that all were filled with the Holy Spirit. It's sometimes helpful to some of us today if someone prays with us to help us express our willingness to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. If you feel that's something you would like or feel you need, why not ask someone who themselves are experiencing the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to pray with you? If you feel you'd prefer, I'd willingly send you a personal audio file I'll do for you with a prayer for that anointing. If we are to serve God in the way that he wants, we need the indwelling of his Holy Spirit.